Don't make it for yourself.
Welcome, friends, to Radio St. Pete's Inquisitive Tongue. And, you know, I've told you many times that I'm from San Diego. San Diego's a foodie city. I wrote food for years and years. Well, one of the people who has made San Diego and the world a better culinary experience is the one and the only, Brian Malarkey. Brian, welcome to Radio St. Pete.
Oh, thank you so very much for having me.
So, Chef, you and I talked when you were opening Seersucker many years ago. Since then, you have become you've been a top chef, TV Food Network podcaster, opened award-winning restaurants. But we are talking today specifically, folks, in St. Pete. Drumroll, Brian is going to be one of the anchor chefs celebrity at this year's Savor St. Pete in downtown St. Pete, November 1st and 2nd. Brian, tell us how you got involved with Savor.
I got involved because I'm in love with Publix, and Publix is a big supporter of this one. And they said, Malarkey, come on down and hang out with us and cook us some great food. And I said, I would love to.
Well, we're going to talk about all your restaurants, your culinary philosophy, your podcast, and the fact that last time I was with you, you didn't have children, and you just celebrated a birthday of both Sailor and Miles, right?
We did. 15 years old now. Oh, my goodness.
I know. That makes me 29 yesterday. So going forward, Brian, let's just talk about this new – well, it's not real. It's relatively new to me. Tell us a little bit about this product, why you developed it, why it is essential to the kind of cooking you do, and just launch us into that journey.
All right. So it was that bitter cold winter called COVID, all right, where we're all locked at home and we're all trying to figure out what to do. And we're trying to raise some money for our employee relief fund. And I started doing online cooking classes like a lot of people did. And I realized that nobody had ever invited me to their house for dinner before because I'm so annoying, or I don't know if they're intimidated or what. But here, for the first time ever, I was in people's kitchens. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what kind of oven do you have? What kind of knives do you use? What kind of fridge? What's in the fridge? And I said, what kind of oil do you cook with? And 99% of the people said, I cook with extra virgin olive oil. And I was like, no, you're not supposed to cook with extra virgin olive oil. That's a finishing oil for drizzling on the top of something when it's done or something when it's raw, your prosciutto, your tomatoes, your herb salad, and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, my gosh, nobody knows. The world does not know. So I felt that it was my mission to teach people to stop cooking with extra virgin olive oil. You want one of those hard-hitting, neutral oils that is flavorless, right? Like the avocado, the olive, not extra virgin, but it's called olive oil, which is the second press. It doesn't have all the flavor. The grape seeds, the sunflowers, all of those oils are flavorless, and they're built to get super, super hot. Whereas extra virgin olive oil, it doesn't even want to be stored next to the window. It's like, I don't know, it's too hot by the window. So why would you
It's a high maintenance girl, isn't it?
She's sexy, and I love her. I love extra virgin olive oil, but I know her place in the kitchen, and it's not in a saute pan. That's far too intense for her. So I came out with Chef's Life cooking oils. So we have our blended oil that has avocado, olive, grapeseed, and sunflower. And this stuff is like, it's out of this world. It is high heat, neutral flavor. So when I cook, my carrots taste like carrots. My chicken tastes like chicken. My food tastes the way it is. If you use extra virgin olive oil, one, it won't get hot enough. And two, extra virgin olive oil has a very strong flavor. Everything will all taste like that extra virgin olive oil, but almost like a burnt extra virgin olive oil, right? And it's more expensive. So why do you want to use something more expensive when we got the workhorse? And this is what we use in my kitchens here in San Diego, is our blended oil. So we also have our straight organic avocado oil for those people who are staying away from the blend oils. Then we also have our organic extra virgin olive oil. So kind of our premium. Our white labels are kind of the commodity, hard-hitting, great price. And then the black is a little bit more bougie, but all the products are incredible. And we do have our cooking oil spray also. And Publix is awesome and carries all of them.
Well, what I think is so exciting is that you have taken chef ingredients to the public. Let's talk a little bit, you know, when you have 15 wildly successful restaurants. I mean, San Diego's Urban Wood, Urban Sea, Anime, Orange County's Urban Ranch. I think you have a Cowboy. You know, Cowboys are big.
Hawkeye and the Huckleberry Lounge.
Right. But what is that? You and I have watched foodies become actually home chefs. Talk to me about the importance of taking chef expertise into home cooking.
You know, I mean, people have a higher expectation, you know. Again, part of, you know, not many good things came out of COVID, but cooking at home really became important like it was, you know, 20 years ago. Everyone was baking the sourdough bread, cooking stuff. And now cooking content online is the, some of the most viewed stuff there is. People are taking great pride in being innovative, creative, trying different things. But as the great French chefs will tell you, if you don't have the basic understanding, you have to have the technique, you know, to make a proper food. You can't be doing all your funky food if you don't even know the basics of the kitchen. And that is what oil to use. It is the canvas. How can you paint your masterpiece if you don't have a canvas?
Well, you know, you sound just like Jacques Pepin, who said that if you go into a restaurant, this is back to basics. He said, have a baked potato. If the baked potato is no good, get out of the restaurant. It is back to basics, right? It's knowing.
Yeah, people want to run a million miles an hour, but they don't even know how to walk, all right? So it's so wild to me that 99% of you are all cooking with extra virgin olive oil when you should be cooking with a high heat cooking oil. Then I like to say we made it clean so you can make it dirty. Then
oh, I love that.
We made this very clean label. We made this very clean oil. Now you get to make it all wild and crazy, but you have to cook it properly first, right? You can make your sauce, your chimichurri, your salsa verde, your aiolis with your extra virgin olive oils and stuff like that. But first, we just got to cook it, all right? You don't ever get dressed up all fancy to go muck wrestling. You know what I'm saying? And
I got
what's
it.
What's happening here is these people are taking their real pretty extra virgin olive oil and throwing it into the inferno. No, put the hard-hitting oil in the inferno.
Well, I am all with you. And now let's talk a little bit about your culinary restaurant. So you're doing rustic wood fire dishes. You're doing, you know, taking carrots and beets in Mediterranean flavors and California ethos of seasonality and sustainability. You were one of the first to do this. How did you get interested in eat seasonally and then introduce the sustainability into your restaurants?
Well, you know, I've surrounded myself with great resources, everybody from Patty, who I buy my fish from the gardeners who I buy my produce from the farmers and this like this. There's so many great people that have influenced me going, hey, you know, it's just as easy to do this. You find out that if you just do a little bit of work, why spend X amount of money on a fish from 3,000 miles, 1,000 miles away, when you can spend X amount of money on something much, much closer and you can support local. And another crazy thing that came out of COVID was stop looking around the world and start looking locally. And it's so important that we support our local farmers, our local, our farmers, our butchers, everybody who's local. Try to support your local economy so that you're helping your neighbor out. And that's what it's all about. And simple cookery also. Wood fire makes everything taste good. I know a lot of you don't have access to having wood fire, but do you know if you put proper cooking oil in a saute pan, specifically like a nice large cast iron pan, and get it as hot as you can burn your carrot. You can burn your turnips, your potatoes. And guess what? Burn is umami, that char, that caramelization. That's where all the flavor's at. It's not about how you whip it, swirl it, infuse it, do this. It's how, as Jacques Pepin said, the simple cookery, high heat, great caramelization makes everything taste better.
Brian, you are, you know, I have to say you're a culinary poet. I want to talk to you a little bit about your TV journey because, you know, I know that you competed on Top Chef. And I know that you were a finalist and you competed, you know, as an all-star, but you've appeared in Guy's Grocery Games, the Today Show, Good Morning America. Tell me, How did you get into it? How did you get discovered? Did you just keep going after them? Tell our listeners, are such great fans of yours. Tell them a little bit how you ended up headlining food and wine festivals and being a TV star.
I had auditioned for the next celebrity network star, the next Food Network star, right? The first season, somebody, this guy with like blonde hair had done pretty good on the season. His guy's name was Guy something or other.
Oh, yeah, Guy Fieri.
So I was like, oh, I want to try to do that. And I auditioned for that. I went out to New York. I was in front of like Giada and Bobby, and I was doing an audition, and I bombed. And I was like, oh, man, I guess I'm not going to be a TV chef. And we were at home doing a charity event. And it was the Liver
Foundation.
Was that
the San Diego celebrity chefs?
Yeah, it was one of those celebrity chef dinners where it was the Liver Foundation. 20 chefs, 20 tables. We all had to decorate our own table, cook our own food, bring our own staff.
Yep, been there many times.
Yep, a really big one. And the chef at the Omni Hotel, who was putting it on, came into my restaurant a week before the event and said, Malarkey, what are you going to make at that event? And I was like, I don't know, something good. He goes, well, we're going to beat you. And I was like, it's a competition. He goes, yeah, we're going to beat you. And I was like, okay, game on. So fast forward, I turned mine into like this lions, witches, and dragons table. I had people dressed up like Marie Antoinette and jokesters, and I had women with ribbons and stuff like that, and giant food and smoke and everything. And every table in that whole place was looking, going, why am I not at that table? And that chef walked over to me and he said, Malarkey, I heard you have fire breathers. If you pull out fire breathers in my ballroom, I will have you thrown out of this hotel. And I said, I thought you said it was a competition. And now I didn't have fire breathers, but they did have big fire fingers, right? And I was working for the Oceanair Seafood Room, famous for their giant baked Alaskas. So I'd made a big basket out of a street cone that I'd bought at Home Depot. And it was 3 feet tall. And I had all this 151 flammable liquor. And I was like, well, you only live once. Let's do this. I rolled it out there. I had these two girls with these big wicks, and I had people hidden in the audience with buckets of water, and I lit everything on fire. And it was like, there was this, and it was just like out of the movie. Through all of the entryways, security guards were running at me. I was like, oh my God, no! And they grabbed me. The whole 1,000 people in this room were cheering, just like, yeah, as they take me out, take me down to the trash area and throw me out the back door. And I was like, wow. That was
I
fun.
Heard about this, Brian. I heard and about it, but it's more fun when you tell it.
And it wasn't but a couple of days later, the UT wrote a story about Brian Malarkey getting kicked out, letting the ballroom on fire, and no one got hurt. It was completely safe. But it was about a week later that Top Chef called. I didn't even fill out an application for Top Chef. They called up and said, are you the chef that lit the ballroom on fire? And I was like, maybe. And they said, do you want to be on Top Chef?
That is amazing. And the rest is history. What do you love about doing television? Tell us what you're doing today with television, in addition to the fact that you have a YouTube channel.
I just shot another big – I have my own show on the Food Network. The reboot of Alton Brown's Cutthroat Kitchen. I'm the new host of that.
Congratulations.
Yep.
And that's going to be fun to watch.
Yep. The first season just aired on the Food Network, so you can watch that streaming. And then I just shot, you know, I constantly am shooting more stuff on Guys Grocery Games, Wild Card Kitchen, Chopped. And then there's another big show, and I'm not allowed to say what it is, but it's been out for a couple seasons. I'll go back and I compete again on another show that will be probably airing in about 3 months. So that'll be really fun. It's a giant playground, really. You know, it's exhausting and stressful. But, gosh, where else do you go to go play and cook for a sport? I just love it. And there's kind of a group of us that all do it together. And we have a lot of fun. We make fools of ourselves. We you know, it's blood, sweat, and tears. And it's just so much fun. I absolutely love it. I am working with my own production company to make a new TV show based on me opening my own restaurant. We filmed the pilot of Hawkeye Huckleberry Lounge in Bend, Oregon last year. And now we're going to shoot a full-length, full season of us opening a brand-new restaurant in Portland, Oregon next spring.
Now, you know what I'm going to say? I'm just going to say it. We San Diego foodies need you here. I don't care how it happens. We're a great food town, but I'm just saying.
I had that big expansion when I had seersucker and herringbone and burlap and gingham and gabardine, and I had restaurants in Texas and Arizona and Mexico and Hawaii and L.A. and Las Vegas. And you know where I was? I was never at the best restaurant. I was never at the one doing great numbers and having fun. I was at the underperformer always. And so I'm very selective about where I'm at and what I'm doing. I move much slower in my old age now. And I was born in Portland, Oregon. I really want to help, you know, resurrect the downtown metropolitan area.
Good for you, Brian.
A huge food city, and I'm honored to be able to go up there and cook with all these great chefs. But the metropolitan downtown area is really devastated, and I want to throw a party that Portland will celebrate for years to come.
Well, you're doing a lot of good, and I want to just mention that we're really excited, and I spent some time listening to the Harley and Malarkey podcast. And it's all dog new tricks. This is yet another thing you're doing. You call it Gen X grit and millennial mindfulness. And this explores relationships and other life topics, but it kind of was launched by your sobriety and some other life-changing decisions in your life.
Yes.
Tell us about the podcast and how long you've been doing it and about your partner, Danielle Harley.
Danielle Harley, we call her Harley D. She's 18 years younger than I am and 100 years smarter than I am. So she and I, we have all these wonderful conversations where we're talking about things that I grew up and things that she's at and, you know, the teenage kids and what's going on in the world. And we were like, let's just talk about this on a podcast, because it's not that shock stuff. It's just like really good stuff that has really helped me adjust. She's helped me through sobriety. I quit drinking alcohol 3+ years ago. I got off my antidepressants 2 years ago. I got off caffeine. I still love coffee. Every morning I get up and make myself the best decaf coffee. But I'm already so hyper. Why do I need caffeine? And so she's got me on a workout routine. And all of these things that, you know, I just had kind of taken for granted. And I gave up my edibles. So now I'm just laughing and the youth call it. I'm raw dogging life. And it's just the challenges that comes with having no turnoff. You have to be able to deal with everything that kind of upsets you and things that, you know, all the ideas and the this. And I see so many people struggling in life, especially like my age. Because when you're young, you have a false sense of belief. Like, I got this. I'm going to got this. I got this. But about my age is when you start going, maybe I didn't have it. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm helping people who have hit those crossroads going, you got to make some changes in your life and take responsibility for your own health and your own happiness. And she's really good because she's a nutritionist and she, you know, she's really forward thinking. And it's her great ideas and my willingness to adjust and change that the podcast is all about.
Well, and I love this, Brian, and I'm so glad. Folks, if you've just joined us today on The Inquisitive Tongue, I am talking to celebrity chef and a San Diego friend, Brian Malarkey. He is currently on Cutthroat Kitchen. He's doing so many things. He's America's most dynamic and accomplished chef. He is coming to Savor St. Pete. It is going to be in its 13th year at the Vinoy, November 1st and 2nd. He will be everywhere. He'll be on air. He'll be doing cooking demonstrations with his new oils, and he'll be just available to talk and to sign autographs. Brian, you know, I don't think people realize that chefing is very stressful, but I want to talk about the creativity. How is it that you discover new dishes that you want to do, and where do you look for inspiration?
Well, one thing that we haven't talked about here is I am bringing my sidekick, who is a huge Food Network star in his own right. Carlos Anthony will be cooking with me and hanging out with me the entire time. He's running our restaurant up in Bend, Oregon, Hawkeye and Huckleberry Lounge. Carlos Anthony, he's competing in all of the biggest shows on the Food Network right now. So we'll both be there having a lot of fun. But it's the Carlos Anthonys of the world. It's Tara Monson, two times James Beard nominated chef, who is our partner in two of our restaurants down here in San Diego, Le Coq and Anime. It's Aid Owen, who runs Urban Wood and Urban Sea, my other restaurants down here in San Diego. They're the geniuses.
And if you have a posse of very talented chefs, some of them younger, how is it that you inspire and work as a mentor together to create these great culinary visions?
It's the team. It's the Carlos Anthony. It's the next generation of great chefs, right? I'm kind of the godfather now. And they have the ideas, and they've got their ear to the rail. They know what's hot and what's going on. We have Tara Monson, who is a two-time recent James Beard nominated Best Chef California. She's our partner in Le Coq, our restaurant in La Jolla, and Anime downtown San Diego, the best restaurants in Southern California. We have Aiden Owen, who runs Urban Sea and Urban Wood in San Diego. These people, their food is so next level, so clean, so fun. It's not that crazy little dot-dot tweezer food. It's just food from the soul. Tara's Filipino. Aiden comes from Australia. Carlos is butchering our own beef up in Oregon. These people are inspiring me. I don't know if I'm inspiring them. I helped them along when they were young, taught them how to kind of get it together and be able to produce a lot of food and make it great at high volumes and stuff like that. Now they're taking it to an entirely new level.
Well, Brian, we are so delighted to have you. Folks, if you go out to San Diego or Oregon, there's some great restaurants. We're going to list all of Brian's restaurants. He will be here, presented by Publix at Savor St. Pete, November 1st and 2nd. You'll get a taste of retro glam. There's so much going on. Brian will be demonstrating his oil line, and he'll be showing us how to cook. He'll be talking to us about food. It will be amazing. Brian, parting words to anybody who would like to become a chef. What's your advice to up-and-coming culinary stars?
First thing I tell everyone's like, oh, I'm thinking about going to culinary school. I'm thinking about doing this. No, the first thing you do is go work in a kitchen. Go entry level. If you have to, go wash dishes. You know, go see if you like that environment, if you like that vibe, if you like that pace. You know, see if that's what you want to do before you just drop everything and go do it, because it's a specific type of personality that thrives in the kitchen, and it's not for everyone. But the people that it is for, it is their life. It is their breath. It is everything, and it is what they just do. And that's why I don't have a job. I have a wonderful life because I love going to work every single day.
Brian, thank you so much for being here. So, folks, Savor St. Pete, it's 13th anniversary, November 1st and 2nd. Brian, we'll see you there.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and this has been The Inquisitive Tongue.